Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Yud Daled. We left off on daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the last four words of the page. V'ha hani tartiyu. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Allah Shalom. Also by Daniel Sadie, and for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, who shall return home safely. Also by Rabbi Bruckheimer, in loving memory of his wife, Hindel Bas Eliakim HaKohen, Zichrona Levracha, her Nesham Shem Naliyah, and in honor of the real Bar Mitzvah anniversary of Rabbi Bruckheimer, which is in Adar Sheni. It is also sponsored by the Gross family, Lizeich Nishmas, Chana Leia Bas Moshe Tzvi, Rav Moshe Yehuda Ben Rav Nachum, Chaya Leia Bas Naftali Hertzka, and Tzvi Menachem Ben Shmayahu, the Neshama Shav Naliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we left off smack in the middle of a discussion where we were in the middle of the discussion of, if you find a Shtar Chov, who do you return it to? That was yesterday's daf. Do you return it to the Malva, the Lova? Nobody. So what do you do with a found Shtar Chov? So the Gemara was telling us that there's a Brisa that's against Rabbi Eliezer on one count, and is against Shmuel, Rabbi Lazar on one count, and is against Shmuel on two counts. And we already elaborated how this Brisa is against Rabbi Lazar, and the Gemara is just going to pick up with, but we elaborated and showed that it's against Rabbi Lazar on two counts, not on one count. So we're going to further elaborate what the two counts are that the Brisa is against Shmuel. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, when does Shmuel assume within the Shita of the Chavim that Achrayus Ta'u Sofer, and when not? Meaning, when do we assume that it was that the Achrayus is of Shibun Chasim is assumed, and when do we not assume that it's assumed, and that if it was left out, it was left out purposefully? Then the Gemara is going to discuss the extent to which the mocher can get involved before his bal chov goes and confiscates properties from the lokeach. The mocher owes money, and the bal chov is just going to go straight to the lokeach to take the property. Can the mocher get involved and say, you know what, I have a taina, I don't think you can collect that property? Or does he just have to let that happen and then just deal with the lokeach afterwards? Then on the bottom of Amalav, going over to Amun Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss until what point a lokeach can back out of a purchase because he's hearing rumors that the property he just bought didn't really belong to the mocher. So what if he did a kinyan already? Is he still able to back out and to say, well, wait a second, I didn't think I was buying something that had questions over the ownership of it. I didn't think I was buying the Brooklyn Bridge over here. What's going on? So at what point is he still allowed to back out of the purchase? Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether the mocher is responsible to reimburse the lokeach not only for the karka that was confiscated from him, but for the improvements that he made to the karka that was confiscated from him. Meaning a mocher sells karka to a lokeach. The mocher happened to have balei chov. Those balei chov collected from the lokeach. But in the meantime, between the time the lokeach bought it and the time that the lokeach had it confiscated from him, he made improvements to that karka. So now he not only lost the karka, but he lost the shevach of that karka. So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss, the collection of that shevach from the karka. So let's begin the last four words on the page on daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So we had said that we have a brisa that's against Rabbi Elazar on one count, and it's against Shmuel on two counts, and then we finished off yesterday by elaborating how it's against Rabbi Elazar on two points. So says Marva, ani tartihu. You just told us two kashas from the Brisa on Rabbi Elazar. The two kashas were in how he explains the shita of Rabbi Meir, whether with a shtar that does not have a chayis nechasim, you could collect from at least nechasim b'nei chorin, or no, a shtar that has no chayis nechasim, you just can't use at all, because it's a totally invalid shtar. It shows that it was done by a bunch of clowns. No one knows anything if they left it, if there's no chayis nechasim. And the second point was in how we explain the Shita of Rameir and the Chamim by a shtar that's ra'oi to collect from the kuchos, and the lova is moda that he didn't pay that chov. Are we choshesh that it really was paid, and they're making a kununya so that they'll be able to collect from the kuchos, and they'll be able, the malva and the lova will be able to split the profits, or are we not choshesh for that? So those are two separate points that Rabbi Lazar was against the Braisa. So says the Gemara, no, chadahu. It's really one point. The d'chad tamhu, because they both emanate from the same basic shita of Rabbi Lazar. D'mishum d'kamer Rabbi Lazar machlokas b'she'en chayev moda. Since Rabbi Lazar is of the opinion that the machlokas Rameir and the Chachamim is in the case where the lova was not moda, that he still owes the money, or that he ever even owed the money. He's claiming that the shtar is mezuyav, and the machlokas tanoim is, do we return the shtar to the malva if the shtar does not have a chayis nechasim? Who mitari tachi? So he will explain that. According, that's why he explains everything. He explains it's because he says the machlokas is when the lova is not moda. That's why he says that according to Rabbi Meir, you cannot collect it at all with such a shtar. You return the shtar to the malva just to be latra pitzlochiso, because the shtar is worthless anyway. You might as well return it to the malva. He can't do anything with it. He's only going to use it as a bottle cap anyway, which is against the brisa, where because the brisa said that according to Rabbi Meir, the guy I can actually use that shtar. It's still going to be a usable shtar to at least collect nechasim b'nei charin, even if not to collect nechasim mishubadim. And since he said that, since Rabbi Lazar had said that the whole machlokas is when the lova is not moda, so he was forced to conclude, but when the chayiv is moda, divrei kol yachzir, that when the lova is moda, then everyone's going to agree that you return that shtar. So that forced him to explain that the reason you return the shtar is because I'm not choshish l'kanunya. I'm not choshish that maybe it was already paid up and they're just doing a kanunya. And that's also against the Braisa, because the Braisa assumes that we are choshish l'kanunya. But the entire Mahalich all stems from one point. And that's why we said that it's against Rabbi Lazar B'chada, because it all stems from the point that Rabbi Lazar says that the whole machlok, so Mary the Chamim, is b'she'en chayiv moda. So that finishes up the discussion of how Rabbi Lazar interacts with that Braisa. But then we also pointed out Tiyufta de Shmuel Bitarti, that there are two Tiyuftas on Shmuel from that Braisa. What are the two Tiyuftas on Shmuel? Chada Rabbi Lazar. One kasha on Shmuel is the exact same kasha that we had in Rabbi Lazar, the Moki Masnisin B'Shein Chayiv Moda, because Shmuel, like Rabbi Lazar, also says that the Mishnah, the whole Machlokas in the Mishnah, is only B'Shein Chayiv Moda, which led Rabbi Lazar to all the problems he had in the Braisa. So Shmuel's going to have all those same problems in the Braisa. But then Shmuel has an additional problem with the Braisa. V'chada, another kashi is the Amr Shmuel, because Shmuel says elsewhere, Shmuel's going to say in a couple of dapim from now, that Matzah Shtar Hakno'a B'Shuk Yachzir L'Bailin, that if you find the Shtar Hakna'ah in the shuk, you return it to the malva. And even if the lova is not moda, that it's a valid shtar, v'lo cheshinu l'piron. And that's because we're not choshesh that it's already been paid up. If it had already been paid up, then you could be certain that the malva would have torn up the shtar in order that it should not be collected, as it should not be used the second time. So tiyufta, so that's a tiyufta to ketani hacha, because that's against what it says in the Braisa. The Braisa says that if you have a shtar that says that the nechasim of the lova are meshubad to the payment of the chov, then both according to our mayor and the chamim, aval pi sheshnei modim, even though they're both moda that the chov has not yet been paid up, lo yachzir, lo lazeh, velo lazeh, you return it to neither the malva nor the lova, because you have to be choshish that maybe the chov was already paid up and there's going to be a second collection shelo kedin. Alma chashin lepiron. Apparently, when a shtar was found and it had dropped from somebody, somebody had dropped it, we are choshesh that it was already paid up, even if the lova is moda that he had not yet paid the chov. The koshkein hacha to lo moda lova, and kal v'chomer in the din of Shmuel where the lova is not moda because he's not even here in front of us that he's able to be moda, the chashin lepiron, that we have to be choshesh that maybe he already paid his chov and he's the one that dropped the shtar because he got it back after he paid his chov, and returning the shtar to the malva is going to allow him to collect a second time shelo kedin. Period. So that concludes our discussion from yesterday's daf about the ways to understand Rav Asi and Rav Lazar and Shmuel, the three different ways to understand our Mishnah, and how the Braisa is against both Rav Lazar and Shmuel's understanding of the Mishnah. So now the Gemara gets into the basis of the Chachamim, that if a shtar does not have Shibun Chasim written into the shtar, it doesn't say that you're allowed to collect from any properties that I own at the time of this loan or at the time of this sale, that you're still able to go and do that. You're still able to go and collect from all the properties. There's still a Shibud Chasim. Why? So Amar Shmuel, my time I had Rabbanan. Why did Rabbanan assume that even if you don't write in the shtar that the lov is being meshabed all of his nechassim to pay up this chov, that the malv is still allowed to go to the lekuchos and collect those nechassim? If it doesn't say in the shtar, by what right does the malv have the right to collect those nechassim? So Sarvi Achrayis Tol Soferu. It's the phrase we've been saying a lot, and that is that the Chacham hold that if they neglected to write the Achrayis explicitly in the shtar, we assume that that was just a mistake of the scribe, but Achrayus is an assumption. Everyone always assumes that there's going to be Achrayus Nechasim. Ask the Gemara, Amle Rava Bar Itai, the Rav Idi Bar Avin, Umiyam or Shmuel Hachi, does Shmuel really hold that Achrayus tells Sofer that if they fail to write Achrayus in the Shtar, that it's presumed to be there? Vamar Shmuel, but didn't Shmuel tell us in a different context that Shevach, Shefer, Vishibud, Tzarech Li Malech, that when a sofer is writing a shtar mecher, he needs to ask the mocher a number of questions in order to know the exact language that he should put into the shtar. He needs to know whether he's mishabed his nechasim to this mechira, because if the Baal Chov is going to come and collect from the lokeach, the whatever karka he sells, the lokeach will come and collect from the mocher the keren and the shevach that the lokeach was mashpiach the karka before it was confiscated from him, and if he's mishabed to reimburse him for the shefer, from the shefer, meaning from the idis of his nechasim. And if he's not maskim, the mocher is not going to write. If the mocher is not maskim to that, the sofer is not going to write the shibud in the shtar, because there are some mocherim that are not mishabed to themselves to reimburse the lokeach if the balchov takes the karka from them. And there are some that are mishabed to pay the keren, but they're not going to be mishabed to pay the shevach. Meaning, yeah, I'll reimburse you for the karka that I had sold to you and was confiscated from you, but I'm not going to reimburse you for whatever improvements you made in that land. Meaning, yesh v'yesh. Some people are not willing to reimburse you at all if it gets taken from you. Some people are willing to reimburse you, but only for the keren, but not for whatever shevach you made. And some are willing to reimburse you, but not from the iddis of my karka. I'm not going to give you from the shefer, from the best of my nechasa. I'll give you from my beininess. I'll be reasonable, but I'm not going to go and give you from the very best. So you see that Shmuel holds that we do not assume that that an omission of shibud karkaos from a shtar is automatically a mistake of the sofer. It's a reasonable question to ask each time someone is selling property: are you in fact being mishabed your nechasim to stand by this sale? So that's one of the questions that they ask him. So how can you say that Shmuel holds achrayis to the sofer that achrayis nechasim shibud nechasim is just always an assumption, and therefore if it's left out, you assume it's there anyway, even though the sofer was just made a mistake by not including it? No, Shmuel's one that says that a sofer should ask these questions, because very reasonably a mocher may not want to take upon himself the achrayus. So says Gemara, should we say lema mandi amar ha lo amar ha, that the amora that said in the name of Shmuel that achrayus ta sofer is not the same amora that says in the name of Shmuel that the sofer is supposed to ask the mocher prior to writing the shibud and the shevach and the shefer in the shtar, that these were two separate dinim that were said by two separate amoraim who are arguing within the shita of Shmuel? So that, which is highly unusual to have something like that, but it should. Are we forced into saying that? Says Rashi. That's how Rashi explains this line of the Gemara. The Ritva says, I don't understand. We never find in the Gemara that anyone other than Shmuel reported said these two halachos. Meaning, normally when we say Shnei Amoraim Aliba, you know, are arguing what the earlier Amora said, it's because one was Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and the other one was someone else in the name of Shmuel. But over here, it's just both Shmuel. There's no one Amar anyone in the name of Shmuel. So it's hard to imagine that we're saying, oh, these are two Amoraim in the name of Shmuel. There are no other Amoraim. These are just directly from Shmuel. So the Ritva assumes that the Gemara is trying to tell us, the Gemara is trying to ask whether it's possible that Shmuel said the Svar of Achrayis Tal Sofer in explaining the Shita of the Chachamim, but he doesn't hold that. Meaning he was just explaining the Shita of the Chachamim, but he himself holds not like the Chachamim. That's what we're asking. That Lema Mandi Amar Ha, Lo Amar Ha, that when Shmuel said the the sheet of the Chachamim, he doesn't really hold the sheet of the Chachamim. Rashi's interpretation fits the words better, but the Ritva just points out that logically it doesn't fit. To say the way Rashi learns the Gemara, Lema Mandi Amar Ha Lo Amar Ha, do you mean to tell me that there are two Amorayim reporting different things in the name of Shmuel? Either way, lo kasha. It's not a stira at all, so therefore it's not a problem. Kan b'shtar halva, d'lo yavinish zibikdi, kan b'mekach mem, kar davinish zavin ara liyomei. That when it comes to ishtar halva'a, then we assume achrayis to sofer, because nobody would ever lend money if they know that they might be throwing the money away. So if it's a halva'a, it has to be that there's a shibud nechasim, and whatever properties you own at the time of the halva, the borrower is going to be able to collect from, the lender rather is going to be able to collect from those properties. But when it comes to mekach memkor, when I'm, at the time that I'm giving the money, I'm actually getting something in return. I'm getting a property in return. So then I'm not necessarily going to demand that there be a achrayus on this property. And if it gets confiscated from me at some later date, I still benefited from it. I benefited from it for the entire time that I had it. Meaning it may be confiscated from me tomorrow. It may be in 15 years from now. So then I got 15 years of payrolls out of this. So it's a risk I'm willing to take. It's not that I'm getting nothing from my money. If I lend you money and then I never get my money back, I'm getting nothing for my money. So I want to make sure that there's a shibud. But if I'm buying something from you, even if the thing that I bought is ultimately taken away from me, I'm at least getting something for my money, and therefore it's not a foregone conclusion that there's always going to be shibud nechasim on a mecher. So the Gemara brings a raya to this chilik between halva'a versus mekach u'memkar. Ki ahid avua bar'ihi zavin alisa me'achase. That avua bar'ihi purchased karka from very high quality karka from his sister. Also Balchov Torfamine. Balchov of his sister, of the woman, came and took it away from Avua Bar'ihi, because it was Meshubah to paying some other chov that she had. So there was some other chov, she owed money to somebody else, that somebody else came and confiscated this land. Also Kameda Mar Shmuel. So Avua Bar'ihi came to Shmuel and he was Toveya, the sister, that she should return the money for the value of the karka that was taken from him because of her chov. So Amalei, so Shmuel asked Avua Bar'ihi, Kasvalach Achrayus, did she write Achrayus Nechasim, that you're able to collect from her Nechasim in the event that this karka gets confiscated from you? Amalei, lo. He said, no, she didn't write, we didn't have a shtar that had Achrayus Nechasim in the shtar. It didn't say that there was a Shibud Nechasim. So Amalei, so Shmuel said to Avua Bar'ihi, Im Kain Zil Shalma. He says, okay, so have a nice day. Meaning there's nothing to be done on over here because there was no achrayus over here. She wasn't meshabit any of her nechasim to achrayus. So you were mochel on that, on the rights to make any sort of claim against any of her properties. So Amalei, so Avu Bar'i said to Shmuel, "V'amaru damar achrayus to soferu." But wait, you're the one that said that achrayus is to sofer. That even if the shtar halva doesn't have achrayus, that we assume that there's achrayus in it. Amalei, hani mili b'shtar halva. He said, "Yeah, that's exactly correct. When it's a shtar halva'a, achrayus is to sofer by a shtar halva'a, because I would never lend money to somebody without achrayus, because then I'm just throwing my money away. Avlushroi mekach memkar. But when it comes to a sale document, and you had purchased something from your sister, it wasn't a loan, you had purchased something, so then lo, we don't assume achrayus to sofer, davidinish to zavinar liyomei, because sometimes people, in fact, are willing to purchase land, even if it's just a one-day purchase, because it doesn't mean dafka one day, even if it's only a temporary purchase, because of the time that you have the land, you're getting something for your money, so you're willing to take that risk that it's not going to get confiscated from you, and even if it does, who knows, maybe you'll have it for long enough that it'll be worth the money that you paid for it from the time that you're able to benefit from that karka. So that is the end of that discussion. So does Shmuel assume achrayus to sofer or not? There seems to be a stira where the Shmuel assumes achrayus is to sofer, and the Gemara resolves the stira that there's a difference between a halva on the one hand and a mecher on the other hand. So now once we bring these dinim of collecting karka from Lekuchos, so the Gemara is going to bring a couple of other dinim about shibud karkos, right? Meaning if you have to title today's daf, daf. It's shibud karkos. That's the topic of today's daf. So Amar Abaye, Reuven shemachar sod l'Shimon ba'achrayus. Reuven sells a field to Shimon with achrayus. He accepts achrayus that if this field gets confiscated from you, Shimon, you can come back to me and I will deal with it and I will reimburse you. Ubab al chov de Reuven v'katar flemine. And that in fact happens. One of Reuven's balichov, someone Reuven owes money to, goes to take the field away from Shimon. So dina hu de azal Reuven mishtay dina ba'day. It's proper and okay for Reuven to go and be involved in the Din Torah with the Baal Chov in order to prevent him from taking the karka from Shimon and saying, what are you talking about? That you're going to collect that karka from Shimon. I already paid this chov. We already had an agreement that you're not going to go. Whatever it is, he can come and fight the collection from Shimon, from the property that he had sold to Shimon. And the Baal Chov cannot tell Reuven, I'm not trying to take anything away from you right now. I'm trying to take something away from Shimon. So leave me alone. This has nothing to do with you. And therefore, since I'm not collecting karka from you, I'm collecting it from Shimon. The lokeach is my baldavar. He's the one that I'm dealing with. The Shimon is the one that I'm dealing with. And he's the only one that can have tainas against me in Beis Din. And if you have some other taina, so take me to a separate Din Torah. To Amalei, because the Reuven can tell the Baal Chov, the Mafkas Minei, Lai Didi Hadar, what are you talking about that I have nothing to do with this? If you go and confiscate that land from Shimon, what do you think his next phone call is? He's coming right to me to be able to get reimbursed for it. And then the second version is a bigger chiddush, that even if Reuven had sold the karka Shaloba Achrai, so that when it gets confiscated from Shimon, Shimon has no recourse, and Shimon's not going to be able to collect anything from Reuven, still Reuven can get involved. Amalei Lo Nichali, Delavi L'Shimon Taroma Salai. Because Reuven's going to say, hey, this is going to be terrible for my reputation that I'm selling karka and then it gets confiscated from somebody. So granted, Shimon's not going to be able to take money from me, but he's certainly going to have major titles on me, and I'm not particularly happy with that either. So the way that we just explained the Gemara is da'azel Reuven u'mishtay din abadei, that Reuven is permitted to go to a din Torah, that he's able to, he's allowed to. That is the sheet of the Ritva and the Ran and the Rambam. The Rambam also writes in Hilchos Mechira, Im Ratz Reuven Lasos Din. The Rif has a gears in our sugya, Dina Alei de Reuven Nashtuyen Dina Badei, which means not that he's permitted, but that he's obligated. That Reuven, if you have any tainus, you need to get involved. You can't let this happen. You have to nip it in the bud. Do not wait for the karka to be confiscated from Shimon and then deal with Shimon afterwards. No, if you have a way to prevent it from getting confiscated from Shimon in the first place, Dinahu, it's your obligation to get involved in that case. But the way most Rishonim understand it is the Chiddush is not that he must, if it's like the Rif that he must, that's a Chiddush, that he must get involved. Why can't he just say, let it take its course and then I'll reimburse Shimon? That he must get involved, a Chiddush. But if you say that it's that he may get involved and that the Baal Chov can't say to him, this has nothing to do with you, it's not your business, what's the Chiddush exactly? Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks. He doesn't understand. He says, well, what's the Havamina that the Malva is able to be Docha the Lova from being involved in the Torah? The collection of this karka from the Lokeach is like collecting from an Arev. It's like collecting from a cosigner who took responsibility. And you're not allowed to collect from an Arev Tchila. The Malva has to be Tovea the Lova Tchila. He always has to be Tovea the Lova first. So it's a Pashut. It's the Dabar Pashut that Reuven is allowed to get involved. Rabbi Akiva Eiger leaves it as a tzarachim, but it's a major tzarachim. What exactly the hava amina would be over here? Tosus raises the question, what's the nafkamina whether Reuven gets involved or not? Meaning, what's the nafkamina whether Reuven is one that has a tie against the Baal Chov, or Reuven calls up Shimon and says, when you go to Beis Din, say this, say that, say the other. I mean, either way, the same tainas are going to come out in Beis Din. Tosus asks it more strongly. Tosus says that Beis Din is towing the lokeach all the tainas that the mocher could have been tovin. So Beis Din is going to be tanina le. Beis Din is going to make all those tainas on his behalf anyway. So you can't say the nafkamina is where the edim are krovim to the mocher or to the lokeach, because in that case the edim cannot be made for either one of them because they're both considered to be parties of the case. So it doesn't matter. I mean, it's irrelevant who's actually showing up to Beis Din. If the edim that you have are krovim to one or the other anyway, they're going to be possible. So the my nafkamina, whether Reuven shows up to Beis Din or not, Beis Din is going to take Reuven's place and say everything that needs to be said anyhow. So Tosfos suggests five potential nafkaminas. Number one, Tosfos suggests that it's a case where Shimon says, I don't have any edim and I don't have any raya. So now the halacha is when someone says in Beis Din, I'm done, I rest my case, I have nothing, he's not allowed to show up the next day and say, oh, I changed my mind, I still have somebody. Ruvein never said, I don't have any edim, I don't have any raya. So that would be enough kamina. If Shimon had said that, his case is closed, it's it, he can't do anything. But Ruvein would still be allowed to do it. Another enough kamina, Tosis writes, is where the Baal Chov is chayev a shvur d'oraisa to Ruvein anyway. So once the Baal Chov is chayev a different shvur d'oraisa to Ruvein, Ruvein could be megalgel shvur d'oraisa on the Baal Chov. If he's not chayev a shvur d'oraisa to Shimon, Shimon won't be able to be megalgel a second shvur d'oraisa on the Baal Chov to swear that this money is owed. A third nafkamina, if Reuven is a pikech and more of a more savvy than Shimon is, so meaning Reuven knows how to deal with the Beis Din, Reuven knows the kinds of tainus to make. He's much quicker on his feet than Shimon is. Shimon's going to be pushed around when he goes to Beis Din. So it's beneficial to their interest to have Reuven be there in Beis Din. A fourth nafkamina, that a Baal Chov is not going to be Meis Panav in front of Reuven to be Tovea Shalok Adin, like he would be Meis Panav in front of Shimon. Meaning the amount of chutzpah it would take to lie to the guy that you actually had business dealings with is a much greater level of chutzpah than to lie to some random stranger who has no idea what the business dealings are. Meaning when you're talking to Reuven knows the truth. So to just lie to his face is going to be a greater challenge for the Baal Chov. And a fifth and final nafkamina that Tosos suggests is in the case that Reuven is able to go with the Baal Chov to the Beis Din HaGadol, but Shimon is not able to go. Meaning you can go to a higher level Beis Din, but only if you're able to. If a person can't get out of town, he's busy at work, he's not able to. So Shimon may not be able to go to the Beis Din HaGadol. But Reuven says, I'm willing to go to a Beis Din HaGadol. So it's beneficial to have Reuven be involved rather than Shimon. So all of that is Tosfos just trying to figure out what the advantage is anyway to have Reuven show up to Beis Din instead of having Shimon show up to Beis Din. So we had said that Reuven's allowed to say, I'm getting involved because, don't tell me that I'm the Lav Bal Dvarim, Didi, that don't tell me that I'm not your Bal Dvarim, because you should know that whatever he confiscates, whatever gets confiscated from Shimon, he's coming right back to me to get reimbursed. So the Rishonim are not sure, are we talking about a case that the Mochar has Nechasim that the Lokech is able to collect from? Is that the case? Then the Baal Chov himself should have been collecting from those Nechasim. Why is the Baal Chov going to the Lokech? You're only allowed to collect from Nechasim Meshubadim B'makom She'ein Nechasim B'nei Chorin, when there are no Nechasim B'nei Chorin. So what exactly is happening over here? The Baal Chov is going to Shimon. That presumes that Reuven doesn't have anything. So how can, when the Baal Chov says to Reuven, don't get involved, you're not a party to this case, Reuven could say, yes, I am, because Shimon's going to turn around and take from my nechasim. You have nechasim? I'll take from your nechasim. Meaning, why was Shimon involved in the first place if he has nechasim? So the Mukhe Yosef explains that we're talking about that the gevia was done on a karka that was apotiki. That apotiki means that when I borrowed this money from you, I identified a piece of karka that you can always collect from that karka, and that's the karka that Shimon bought. So then you don't need to collect from nechasim b'nei chorin first. So the Baal Chov is collecting from Shimon, even though Reuven does have property, because that karka that Shimon had purchased is an apotiki. Oh, so then he's allowed to collect from that. That's how the Mukhe Yosef explains. The Meiri says, no, we're talking about a case where Reuven doesn't have any nechasim. He has nothing. So the Baal Chov is going to collect from Shimon. Aye, how could Reuven then taina? But then Shimon's going to turn around and he's going to collect from me. Collect what from you? You don't have anything. I don't have anything right now, but in a week from it, I hope to get back on my feet again. I hope to be able to have nechasim at some point in the future. And then as soon as I have something, Shimon's going to come with a taina on me, and he's going to come and be able to collect it. So I want to get involved now so that this doesn't get confiscated from Shimon. That's how the Meiri understands the case over here. Okay, so now the Gemara brings another din about Shibud Karkos. V'amar Abaye, Reuven Shemachar Sadu L'Shimon Shalom B'Achrayis. If Reuven sold the field to Shimon without being Kabbalah Achrayis on it, V'yotu Ala Asikin, and there are all sorts of tainas about the bailus of this karka, meaning people are coming and claiming this field never belonged to Reuven. He sold you the Brooklyn Bridge, he didn't own it. It belonged to us. So the Lokeach is like, oh, I didn't realize I'm stepping into this. I thought I was just buying a normal piece of property. So Ad Shelo Hichzikba, if the Lokeach wants to back out prior to making a kinyan chazaka on the karka, yachal lachzibo, he's able to do so, because he didn't yet give the money. He didn't yet make a chazaka. Misha hichzikba. Once he made a kinyan chazak in the karka, then enu yachalach sabo. He's not allowed to back out because he was already kona the karka. And this is true, Rashi points out, even though he had not yet paid for it. He had not yet paid for it, but once he did a kinyan chazaka, it's his, so he can't back out of the sale. So Tosos just points out that, okay, he didn't pay for it yet, so and therefore what? Therefore the money is all a chov. I already bought the karka, so because I already made a kinyan on it, I haven't yet paid you for it, so I just owe you money. It's a regular chov. So Tosfos points out that if you hadn't yet paid for it, the lokech, maybe the lokech should be able to say to the mocher, okay, I owe you the money. Here, take the karka in lieu of money, right? Meaning, I owe you the money for the karka. I was already calling the karka. So what? The karka I purchased for $100,000? So I owe you $100,000? Sorry, I don't have any cash on me. Take the karka. So the karka itself is worth $100,000, which is the equivalent of just backing out on the sale anyway. So shouldn't he be able to do that? So Tosfos says, no, he can't do that because once there's an error, once the Sikin making claims on this karka, it's no longer worth $100,000. Meaning I bought it for $100,000 before I knew that there were any titles on the karka. But now that we find out that there are titles on the karka, it's worth half that. So I can't just give you the karka in its place. So anyway, it all depends whether he made a kinyan chazaka yet or not. The amrlei, because the mocher could say to the lokech after the kinyan was already made, chaita tikitri savarta v'kabalta. You bought a bag full of knots, meaning you bought something that's not really worth anything, but you agreed because you took that risk when you bought this karka. So in a chidami, there are irurin on this karka, there are claims and there are tainas. Until there's any proof, you have no recourse. Once there's proof and someone's able to actually confiscate it from you, then you it was shalobach rayas. So you are, even then you won't be able to do anything. At what point do we assume that the lokeach had a chazak on the karka where he can then no longer back out on it? So the Gemara answers, mechidayish ha-mitzri, from the time that they fix the kona, make sure that the borders of the karka are in place, and he lifts up the area of the border of the karka. In that way, he's showing that he has a full gemir stas to be kona the field. Another possibility, v'ikadamra filu ba'achrayus, that even if the mechira was with achrayus, that if these ma'arim take it away from the lokeach, the mocher will be able to he'll be able to get reimbursed from the mocher that sold it to him. Nami, still the lokeach is not allowed to back out on the mocher because of some irur if he already made the kinyan. And he can't say to the mocher, look, they're going to come take it away from me anyway, so I'm just going to come right back to you and take the money from you. Why wait till that point? Let me just back out of the sale now and they'll take it away from you. Why do we have to go through that? Because the mocher can say to the lokeach, ach v'tarfach v'ashalim lach. When they actually, let me see them be successful. If they could successfully take it away from you, then I'll reimburse you. That's what achrayus is. Achrayus does not require me to undo the transaction that we made before anyone was able to do anything for you, before anyone was able to do anything to you. Just because you heard rumors, I don't have to undo our transaction just because you heard rumors that made you uncomfortable. There is a tshuva in the Maharit where someone was asked about a person who had made a shidduch with a particular woman, and then he was told that the father was an Adam Nichbad and he was among the Ashirei Ha'ir, and that made him very happy, and now he's in Tzfat and he's doing holy things, and he swore to her that he would marry her at a particular time. They made a shavua that they would get married at a particular time, and then he did his research. A bad time to do research after the shidduch is nigma, right? Then he decided he was going to do a little bit of research, and he found out that the woman was a paguma. She had a shemra that was yotze on her for terrible things that she had done, and the father was hamer das, and he married a goya, and he was a Christian at this point, and he found out all these things. So he's not so excited about the shidduch anymore. So he wants to know, is he able to be made for his shavua and to be mevatel his chayvus, because he doesn't want to marry her with this shemra, and especially when her father is who her father is. So the Maharit says, you see from our sugya that he's able to be chozer from his chayvus, because the Gemara says Reuven sells the field to Shimon, and Yatzvel Orin, even though it was also b'maisa that he did a kinyan gomor, the way Tosfos understands at least, calls man that he's not daish amitzri, not like the way Rashi, that so long as he hasn't yet been daish amitzri, Yitzri and Masakin the Gvulus of the Sada, he's able to be Chozer Bo, because it's not a full Gemirus Das on the Kinyan until that point. So who had it over here? When Yatzol Orin and Shem Ra, he's able to be Chozer from the Hischaivus to be Mekadisher, and the whole thing is considered to be a Mekachtal. So, okay, an interesting story. So says the Gemara Vayter now, it's Mar Hamokha Sada L'Chaveru. If a person sells a field to his friend, Shalom B'Achrayus, right? V'nimtzeis She'ena Shalom. And it turns out that the field that the Mokhar had sold, he had stolen, wasn't even his. And now the Nigzal comes and takes away the field from the Lokeach. But the thing is, in the interim, the Lokeach had improved the field. So an innocent Lokeach goes and he buys a field. He makes significant investment in the field and improvements to the field. And then it turns out the guy he bought the field from didn't own it. He had stolen it. So the original owner came and took it away from him. So there's Machlokas Amarayim, what the Mocher is chayv to reimburse the Lokeach for. Rav Amar Yesh Lo Ma'os V'Yesh Lo Shevach, that the Mocher has to pay the Lokeach for the value of the karka that was stolen and for the Shevach that the Lokeach had put into the karka. Ushmol Amar Mos Yeshlo Shevach Einlo, that he has to pay him for the value of the karka, but not for the shevach. So Boy Minim Rav Huna Pirish Lo as Hashevach Mahu. What if the Mocher told the Lokech at the time of the Mechira that I will reimburse you for the shevach? Does he now have to pay for the shevach or not? What do you mean? Of course, no. Time of the Shmuel Mishum Tlo Pirish Shivcha Vacha Pirish Lo is the reason that Shmuel holds that you don't have to reimburse the shevach is because that was never part of the deal. That was never part of the guarantee. And over here it is part of the guarantee. Odil Matayim to Shmuel, given the less like karka mechsi karibis. Or maybe the reason for Shmuel saying that you don't have to return the shevach is because since he never really owned the karka, it's as if you really just lent him money. When you paid for that karka, you weren't really getting karka that belonged to him. So it's as if you just lent him money. So if you're going to give him money and he's going to give you back more money than you gave him, it's mechsi karibis. So and therefore that's going to be a problem even if he guaranteed that he would reimburse the shevach. Because even if you promise you're going to pay ribis, you're not supposed to pay ribis. So Amlu in Vilav Rafi Biyade. He wasn't sure. He hemmed and hawed. He went back and forth. So Idmar, Amr of Nachum Ramar Shmuel, Nachum Ramar Shmuel says that if a lokeach has a taina on a mocher for the value of the karka and the shevach, that the nigzal had taken this karka back from him, mos yesh lo shevach ein lo, that you get the money and not the shevach, af al pi shepireish lo es ha-shevach, even though you told them as part of the deal that you'll reimburse for the shevach. My taima, keep the karka in lo, schar ma'usav omid v'notel. Since he never really owned the karka, it's mechzi, karibis, that what you're essentially getting. You gave him X number of dollars, and you're getting back X plus Y number of dollars, and that's problematic. So Esvei Rav Nachman, Rav challenges Rav Nachman, meaning Rav is going to bring a Mishnah that's going to imply that a lokeach collects the shevach as well when the karka gets confiscated from him. So Rav challenges Rav Nachman that we have a Mishnah Maseches Gittin. Ein motzi in la achilas peros. We do not take karka for the sake of paying for achilas peros. Ule shvach karkos, or to pay for the improvements that were made in karka. Ule mazunisha vabanos, or to pay for the ksuba obligations that a man has to support his wife and his daughters. Minu chasum mishubadim mipnei tikuna olam. We don't collect any of those things from the kuchos who had purchased property from this man because of tikuna olam, because we're afraid no one's ever going to want to buy property because these are things that are a bottomless pit, and you'll never know about them, and you're going to buy property, you won't know that the guy has this suba obligation to support daughters. So these are things that they were misakin, that you can't be gova from the chasum mishubadim for them. Okay, fine, from the chasum mishubadim, you can't collect from the chasum mishubadim, but the implication is from the chasum bnei chorin you can, meaning he is responsible to pay for it. So it sounds like shevach karkos is one of the things he is obligated to reimburse. And aren't we talking about where you bought it from a gazlan? Says Mar Lo, Bebalchov. No, we're not talking about where you bought it from a gazlan. We're talking about a regular Balchov who's being Tariv Karka. Ib Balchov, Emeresha, Inmotzil Nachilas Peros, V'Ib Balchov, Balchov Miusle Peri. Well, if it's a Balchov, what are you talking about, Achilas Peros? That we're talking about a field that was taken from the Lokeach when it was full of Peros. So by a Balchov who's Tariv Milukuchos, he's is he able to collect the Peros in the first place? From Shmuel, Balchov, go Abalchov would never have gotten the Paris in the first place that you would even be in a position to reimburse. El Pshita Begozal the Nigzal. So obviously it's not talking about Abalchov, it's talking about a Gozal and a Nigzal. Umi de Resha Begozal the Nigzal, Seifanami Begozal the Nigzal. And if the Resha is talking about a Gozal and a Nigzal, the Seif is also talking about a Gozal and a Nigzal. So the Mocher had stolen this field, and he had sold it to the Lokech. And the Nigzal then collected the karka with the Shevach. So and the Mishnah says that the Lokech can go back to the Mocher and say, I want to be reimbursed from the Shevach. For the Shevach, he cannot be reimbursed from the Chasim Mishabadim, but he could be reimbursed from the Chasim Nechorin for the Shevach. So we're back to our Raya that apparently you're able to get reimbursed for the Shevach. Says Midi Irya, Hakadisa, Vakadisa. Who told you that the two parts of the Mishnah are talking about the same case? Maybe the ratio of the Mishnah is talking about a lokech min a gazlan, and the safe of the Mishnah is talking about a lokech min a lova, where it's not a gazlan at all, and therefore there's no raya at all. Says Zemar v'alo taniyachi, but the Braisa, in elaborating on the Mishnah, doesn't say that. It says l'shavach karkos ketzad hareisha gazal sada mechaver v'arei yotzim itachz yado kshuv kova kova sakar minchasim mishbadim shavach kova minchasim lecharin. In the case of gazela, you collect the shavach as well. Say echidami ilim kedektani. If it's like the pashas losh on the brisa, gazlan miman gavi. You mean a gazlan is collecting? Gazlan doesn't get to collect from anyone. He's a gazlan. Elav gon shagazal sada mechaver machra liachra v'yishbicha. No, the case is the gazlan had turned around and sold someone else, and that person was Meshbiach. So you see that you do collect the Shavach when you buy from a Gazlan. Well, anyway, you're changing the words of the Brisa. So once you're changing the words of the Brisa, you might as well say that it's talking about Balchov, and it's not talking about a Gazlan. Because once you're saying that the Brisa is not saying that the Gazlan is doing the collecting, you have to touch that up anyway, so you might as well say that it's not even about a Gazlan at all, that it's about a Balchov. Tomorrow we'll pick up with the next Raya from another Brisa at Ta Shema. Everyone have a great day.